Well, your girls are back. It is me, Andrea Rappaport, joined by the lovely and infamous Morgan.
Hello.
Hello. And we are bringing you another exciting episode of How Not to Suck at Divorce.
There could be temporary issues that pop up that need to be dealt with.
This is why step number 6 is to start working on it. And this is How Not to Suck at Divorce.
It's Friday over here where we are. And what we are drinking, well, I can tell you truthfully, I've already downed my first glass of wine.
Good for you.
I did. I had a glass at about 2:30, and I think my glass was empty by 2:40.
So that's better than 2:31.
Yeah. I like to pace myself. I'm a lady.
That's true. And everybody, I am coming to you from my son's closet again. I currently have my computer and microphone propped up on a box of Legos. So it's nothing but class over here today because I can't go into the office. I have to work from home on days that we record because the sound only sounds good in this closet.
It's a magical place to be, Morgan. And I am lying in bed, which is actually tied to my horror film moment of the week. So why don't we get into it? Let's share the highlight and the not so highlight of our weeks, otherwise known as
the rom-com and the horror movie.
Morgan, you want to give it to us?
Yes. All right. So I'm going to start with the rom-com. So my rom-com is, it's been kind of a brutal winter. And finally, in the next week and a half, I am going to go on vacation. So it's something I'm totally looking forward to. It involves a beach. I'm super thrilled. But also in that same vein comes my horror film, which is, you know, if you're a woman, and men are totally different, in my opinion, you're getting ready for vacation. You're looking for something cute to wear. You're getting all pumped up for it. It's going well. And so then everything was going great, except for this week. I was like, you know what? I better just hop on the scale really quickly. Just check in, right? So I jump on the scale. I'm like, this is no big deal. Everything feels fine. Wonderful. Okay. It was not a 911, but it was like a 9-1. Okay. It wasn't quite sound the alarm, but it wasn't good. And so I was like, oh. So now this whole week, I've been beating myself up over it. And you know what I've been doing? I literally been taking my phone calls walking. People are like, are you walking right now? I'm like, yes, I am. Because I have a few pounds that I have to get rid of. It's pathetic.
You're moving your body as much as possible.
That's right. It's pathetic. But you know what it was? I realized, because you know, when they creep up on you and you're like, what did I do differently? I know what it was. I pretty much had tacos, I think like 6 days in a row.
Well, but tacos with a bunch of like bad stuff in it.
Yes. Yes. It was like one of those spurts where I had a million dinners that I had to be at. And for some reason, whoever I was with was always requesting tacos. Mm. So then you have to do it. And so now here we are.
Well, you know what? Here's the good news. You are taking control. You are walking. And hey, look at this. One of the things that you preach to your clients is that sometimes the physical movement helps our brain kick in right here. So you know what?
I'm practicing what I preach.
There you go. You're killing two birds, my friend. I think that it's a positive, a big positive. My horror of the week is that I'm currently lying in bed with a heating pad on because it is that time again, folks. And for those of you who follow me on the Instagram, you know that I have endometriosis, which means that when it is my special time of the month, it is really, really special. So I feel disgusting, but that's okay. My rom-com is that your girl is, if I do say so myself, I am killing it right now with business. So
I love it.
Girl, I am. Girlfriend is cleaning up. So Things feel really great in that department. I've had some massive successes with clients this week. I do brand strategy. So I work with individuals and businesses who are figuring out how do they stand apart from everybody else, and just some like massive wins that happened this week. So feeling really great about that. And I'm just going to celebrate my wins from the comfort of my bed. So
and wine at 2 o'clock.
And wine it. And I'll bring this whole thing full circle. I am hoping that my jeans will zip up tonight because we have a dinner with Steve's family and we're going for tacos. So there you have it, folks. There you have it. Okay. Today's episode, let's dig in, shall we? We had a request from a few people who wanted an easy overview, right? People were asking, what exactly do you have to do to get divorced? Like what does everybody need to do? And you know, we talk about this every single episode, but we get really in depth. So we thought that we would try to simplify this as much as possible. So Morgan, how many steps did we put together?
We put together 10 major steps.
10 major steps. Yep. 10 major steps, which we were just saying before we started recording that we would call this like the roadmap, either the roadmap to divorce or the roadmap of a divorce, but this is your roadmap. These are the things that you will absolutely need to do to get divorced.
And if you don't absolutely need to do everything, because this is a really simplified roadmap, and I want to say legally that your team may cut some things out. True. They may expand on every point and do little things that we're not going to talk about here. But the bottom line is you will be talking with your team about these 1 through 10 roadmap options. And whether you do them or not is up to your team, but you will know what they are because you're listening to our episode now. So we are going to do our best to talk through them at a high level so that everybody's ready to go. And I know it feels so incredibly overwhelming. So the reason that we did this, it was we wanted to put my legal brain and Andrea's emotional brain together and create this list of the top 10 steps needed in order to get divorce, or lack of a better term, the roadmap.
So here's our step one. We're calling it your emotional due diligence. This is where we want you to make sure that getting a divorce is the best option for you and for your family. This means do couples therapy, do personal therapy. It's really important to do both, you guys, okay? Trust me, you want to make sure that moving forward with a divorce is the right thing to do.
Step number two. Okay. Now you're at the point where you definitely know that divorce is happening. So what's next? Now is when you're going to start talking to attorneys. You're not going to hire an attorney right off the bat. You're going to talk to attorneys. You need to make sure that you're getting what could be a long-term relationship with somebody who has the right personality to handle you mentally, emotionally, and who has experience to handle your specific case. I will tell you from experience, I love it when clients come to me or potential clients and they say, I'm going to interview you, but I have a few more interviews and I'll circle back with my steps next step. And I say, that's wonderful, because I will have completely different things to say than the next attorney. And also you will feel very different each attorney. It's all about the personality and strategy. So I encourage meeting with more than probably less. I encourage usually seeing about 3 lawyers that are well qualified.
And also it's not personal. So if you don't feel like somebody is the right fit, it's okay to not move forward with them. You need to, it's so important that you really take your time with this. Don't feel pressured or feel like you're in a massive hurry to hire somebody immediately, because that is where we start to make mistakes. So take your time. Step number three, once you have found the attorney that's going to be right for you and right for your case, hire them by paying their retainer fee. Anything else we need to say about that part, Morgan?
Nope, pretty straightforward. Okay. Moving on to step number four. All right, this is the step where you file or you initiate the divorce, or you start an alternate process like mediation. So this is basically the first step, drawing what we say, drawing the line in the sand. This is happening. So remember, there's a few reasons that you would or would not file for divorce. Specifically, these are strategic decisions and also decisions for confidentiality reasons. For instance, sometimes there are cases where we call the other side and we say, you know what, let's start the mediation process for confidentiality purposes. Sometimes it's a public person. Sometimes there are other factors that we don't really want to file for divorce. On the flip side, sometimes we want to file for divorce. There could be strategic decisions like my ex is going to do nothing until I show them that they have no other chance. So you file for divorce. Or I need to stop the clock for maintenance running because I'm going to be the one paying maintenance potentially. And if I file for divorce, it really truly draws a line in the sand. Again, it's starting the divorce process, but there are strategic decisions that you'll work with your team to decide which way is best for you.
Okay. Now, step number five, this is the first thing that you're going to start doing once the divorce process is in motion. You're going to gather information that you need for your financial affidavit. Now, this part can feel really overwhelming. We're going to try to simplify this for you, but Morgan, let's go into what's the information that should be included? What exactly are we gathering?
Sure, let's talk about that. And I will, before I get into what that includes, I want you to know this doesn't mean that day two of your divorce process, you have to have thousands of pages of documents. This is a marathon. So don't get so overwhelmed where you just shut down. But let's talk about the documents that you may need in your divorce process. And again, this is to be tailored to you. And it's not one size fits all. So tax returns, bank statements, credit card statements, any statement that essentially backs up an account or a balance sheet item, or a statement that would potentially show your spending. I would suggest with starting to pull 2 to 3 years worth of statements just to be completely prepared.
And it feels like a lot, but it is very doable. And again, you take your time in doing this. Okay. Step number six. You're going to start working on your parenting agreement or your parental allocation judgment. Now I have a question, Morgan. Is this called different things in different states? And why can't we just find an easier name for this?
It's ridiculous. Since I've been practicing in this business, I think it's been called a custody judgment, an allocation judgment, a joint parenting agreement. It's been all over the map. So just remember, this is the agreement dealing with children.
Right. So if you have children, then this is going to, from my standpoint, the absolute most important document. This is why step number six is to start working on it. It's not start and finish, sign it, file it. No. This document should take you a long time. You should be very thoughtful when filling out this document. You're going to consult your attorney. You're going to consult your therapist and possibly your kids' therapists before making any decisions. This document basically goes through who's going to have the children when, who's responsible for what for the children. It goes through everything, holiday, medical needs, who's paying for things. It's a lot. And I'll be honest with you, it's emotional. This part of the process is not fun, but it's very, very important.
And I will say, Andrea, that we are on, that was step number six. And I will say that step number 6 through 8 that we're going to talk about could really go in any order, or they could all be kind of in the air at one point. It all depends on your case and strategy, but we had to put them somewhere. So if, for instance, you do step number 7, which is discovery or a check-in with your attorney on temporary issues, and we'll get there. Before step number 6, that doesn't mean it's wrong. So just remember, these steps could be interchangeable depending on your strategy. So step number 7, we're going to essentially check in with your attorney to decide whether there's any need for temporary financial support or any temporary issues. So remember this, that every divorce is different. There could be temporary issues that pop up that need to be dealt with. So for instance, what's a temporary issue? Well, a temporary issue, for instance, could be we can't agree to an overall parenting agreement. But we're living in misery, and we need to know for the next 8-9 months, who's going to have the children when. We need a temporary schedule. Or another temporary issue could be, I don't have access to money and I need money to live. And all of my accounts have been shut down. That's a temporary issue that has to be dealt with right away. In a perfect divorce, there really wouldn't be temporary issues because we'd be working just towards the final custody judgment or allocation judgment and the financials. But inevitably in times, there are financial issues or children issues that pop up in the middle that we have to deal with. So step number 7 is figuring out whether there's any temporary issue that has to be handled.
Absolutely. Okay, guys, we are closing in on the end here. Step number 8, you're going to decide with your attorney what kinds of discovery will you need to get this job done. And again, this is another big topic. So let's bring Morgan back in to expand on what that means.
Okay, so let's start with what is discovery? Discovery is basically the gathering of documents and information so that you can make an informed decision in your case. So if you're thinking back to the old school divorces, I think when I first started this, it was everybody has to do full discovery. Give me every paper that you could ever get your hands on for the last 1,000,000 years. I mean, I'm being facetious, but I would say that that was kind of similar of what everyone wanted. And it was really expensive and really time consuming and overboard. So some cases do still warrant that. You know, it's kind of a scorched earth. We need every statement for the last 1,000,000 years, depending on the relevance. And the reason we need it is because we don't trust anything you say. And I'm not going to feel right making a decision until we get all this. So that's one way of discovery. Another way is to limit it down. So you either have an agreement with between the two attorneys on what exactly you may need. What would that mean? Things that you may not have access to, or things that you feel like you need to see that you need comfortable or to make you comfortable moving on. So we would limit down discovery. And that could be, we're only going to look at the last 2 years of these statements, or I'm pretty up to speed on most of our finances, but I really want to see this statement from your bank that I really didn't have access to. So give me that. And assuming I see what I want to see, then I may be ready to go on. So that's limited discovery. The third way to do discovery could be just going forward with financial affidavits. And usually in those types of cases, that's where the clients don't really have a huge estate, but they're signing under oath, this is what we have, this is what we make. And really there's no need to do discovery. I will say with discovery, there are other tools that come with just exchanging documents. Like you can still send subpoenas. You can still take depositions. Those are all tools in your lawyer's toolbox that they will have under any form of discovery in your case.
I have discovered that there's a lot to know about discovery. Oh my goodness. Okay, here comes the part that made me want to vomit. Step number 9, finalizing and signing the parenting agreement. Has to be done, folks. It has to be done. Basically, this is just where you're going over everything with your attorney, making sure that you are ready to put that pen to paper and have this parenting agreement, allocation, custody, allocation, judgment, whatever, filed by the court. And this does put all of these agreements in place for, I guess, maybe it varies from state to state, but I know here in Illinois, it's for at least 2 years. Is that correct?
That's correct. Absent, you know, something major like right. Danger to the children, et cetera.
Right. So that is a big deal. Okay. We're almost there, guys. We are almost there.
Okay. And number 10, which it dovetails with number 9, they're kind of interchangeable, is prepare and sign the marital settlement agreement or the MSA. And this is the document that deals with all the finances regarding your divorce. So remember this, everybody, you cannot get divorced, at least in Illinois, unless you have 2 things prepared, signed, sealed, and delivered: the parenting agreement or allocation judgment or whatever anybody wants to call it, and the marital settlement agreement. Those 2 things need to be done or finalized in order for a court to grant your divorce. And if you don't have children, it's just the marital settlement agreement dividing up the finances.
Yep. And if you do, think of it as like the two pant legs that you got to slip on before you're dressed, right? Like you have to have, you've got to have one side, you have the other. Those are definite absolutes. Okay. Now let's talk about what it looks like the day you get divorced. So for some people, this is like the grand finale, right? Like you're ready for this day. Some people are dreading it. Some people have kind of ambivalent feelings. Some people are anxious. I mean, it can be a big thing. Now, I will say that from personal experience, I did not have my exciting day in court because my divorce was finalized December of 2020, which means we were in the middle of the pandemic. So I got divorced while I was sitting on the floor of my son's closet, ironically, where Morgan is sitting now. And my kids were in the kitchen doing e-learning, and I was getting divorced in the other room, and it was strange. And when you're on like Zoom court, you can see like all the other people who have logged on to get divorced that day. And it was just really bizarre. Now, that was kind of, and I, of course, in my mind, I was like, oh, I have this, I'm going to make it fun. You can't make it fun. There's nothing fun. Like there's nothing you could do. You're uncomfortable. It is awkward. The judge who actually reads all of the conditions of your MSA before they say, okay, you're now divorced, is actually not the same judge who presides over all the other hearings that you've had. So it's some like new person whom you haven't seen before. And it feels, for me, and I don't know, Morgan, I'm sure you've talked to like tons of people who have different feelings, your clients, but it was kind of like that's it. You know, like, well, what happens now? Like, is there a big gong that they ding? Like, that's it. You kind of hang up the call and you're like shaking a little bit. Your hands are a bit clammy and you're like waiting for something major to happen. And it's just very quiet.
Yeah. So few things. It could depend. I've done it all. So I've done Zoom divorces, which is kind of awkward. Like you said, there's a bunch of people all waiting for their divorce, all looking at each other. But then in person, it's awkward too, because you get called up to the bench, to the judge's bench, and the two of you are standing up there, or one of you, depending on how it goes down. And the judge is looking you straight in the eye, and there's all these people behind you listening to effectively your dirty laundry. And that's one thing good lawyers try to do, is when we're getting people divorced, depending on how confidential things are, we try not to get into the really nitty gritty details, because I don't want to air your dirty laundry. I just want it to be quick, done. But what I do say, I've seen it all. I've seen people crying. I've seen people, you know, shaking. I've seen a couple high five, really long kisses and awkward hugs afterwards. I've seen people go to the bar together afterwards. It runs the gamut. But what I always say to people is have a plan for afterwards. Have something nice to look forward to, whether you're happy about the divorce or sad about the divorce. Have a lunch with a friend, you know, some kind of get together, something. Because it's kind of like when it's done, it's anticlimactic. And the other part is, if it's a really long drawn out divorce and you like your divorce attorney, not everybody does, but if you do, you kind of feel like you're breaking up with your divorce lawyer, because you're used to talking to them every day or every other day. And then now it's like you give them a hug and you're like, okay, so when are we going to talk again? And I'm like, well, we don't have to talk anymore. That's the beauty of this, you know, and it's hard. It's like a breakup.
I think that, you know, it's funny is that through every step of this process, you're like, okay, that's done. Now I'm onto this. And now that's done. Okay, now I'm onto this. You're checking all these things off and you're getting closer and closer and closer. And then you get your date, right? Then you're like, okay, my prove up is this day and then I'm done, right? And you're ready and ready and ready and ready. And then there is that like weird moment when it's like done. And it just, I know for me, it was like the noise stopped. You know, it was a lot of like, hubba, 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 and then all of a sudden, shh, And I think that for me, it was almost that I was able to process everything that had just happened once it was over. Because during the divorce, it just felt like massive, like survival mode. So interesting. But I hope that this gave you guys an overview of what to expect, things that you should know are coming up. And the fact that some of these are interchangeable, you might spend a ton of time on one thing and not so much time on the other, but in our expert opinions, both professionally and emotionally, these are the steps needed to get divorced.
That's right. And now we are going to move on to our final segment, now that you are all educated, which is, Andrea, do you want to introduce it?
Well, guys, we like to play this little game at the end of every episode called Decline to Comment, where we ask each other five rapid style questions. The other person has no time to think. We give the very first answer that comes to our mind, unless we cannot answer, because by answering, we're going to get ourselves in some type of legal trouble or maybe an emotional sticky situation, or our mailman will hate us, whatever it is. So if that is the case, then we can answer with decline to comment. Okay. Do we have a theme for this episode's decline to comment, or are we all over the place?
We're all over the place, and I will tell our listeners something funny about me. So I always get stressed out because Andrea is so creative and I don't have that creative brain. I'm the legal brain here. And I always feel like you come up with funny things to say or great questions, and I'm like Googling questions. And so all week I was working to put questions in my phone, the more that came up. They're not great questions. I wouldn't say that they're super exciting, but I feel prepared today.
Whoa, I'm kind of excited to hear this. I'm wondering what, okay. All right, I am ready. Okay, wait, 1, 2, 3, dag, I need one more. Okay, I am almost ready and here we go. Okay. My topic is like super feminine, I think, today, but that's okay. All right. I'm going with it. Yep. This is my party and I will cry if I want to. Are you ready? Who's going first?
I'll go first because I'm prepared. How about that?
Oh gosh. Wonderful. Okay.
All right. And these may be just things that I've been thinking about all week, which makes sense.
I'm sure all you could think about all week.
Or things that potentially have gone through my brain, which really kind of indicates I need to get out more. But okay, the first thing, Andrea, are you ready to play decline to comment?
I'm ready.
Okay. So if you fall asleep on your couch, are you going to bed, getting up and going to bed, or are you sleeping there?
Oh, I'm getting up and going to bed. Absolutely.
If you only had to drink one thing for the rest of your life, would it be tequila or whiskey?
Tequila.
If you only could have one of these the rest of your life, would you have chocolate or wine?
Wine-a-lit. I don't know. Wine, chocolate. No. Oh, dag. Decline to comment.
I may have had to say the same thing. Okay. If you're in your car, are you more of a music person or are you listening to podcasts?
Music.
Okay. And then finally, if you had to do one job every day in your house, would it be either unloading the dishwasher or vacuuming?
Vacuuming.
Same here. All right. You made it. Only one declined to comment.
All right. All right. All right. Okay. Let me do my stretching. Morgan, are you ready?
Yes, except I'm looking at you right now and you look like an old lady who walks through like the mall to get exercise right now.
That's so gonna be me. Oh gosh. Okay, here we go. 5, 6, 7, 8. What was your favorite birthday party as a kid?
Big Bird came to preschool and I still remember it.
Dang girl, yeah. Who did you know?
My dad killed it.
That's amazing. Favorite ice cream flavor?
Cookies and cream.
Classic. Did you ever prank call as a kid?
All the time.
Hey, me too. I'm obsessed with prank calling. Where was your bachelorette party?
Mexico.
And your favorite lipstick shade?
I would say a light pink shiny.
Light pink shiny. Oh, wow. See, we really got deep. Close and personal.
We promise that the next few episodes will have a theme because I clearly have to prepare all week.
We went from Big Bird to light pink and shiny, folks, and all things in between.
That was a feminine episode. We really need to tailor next one to the men that listen.
I know. They're like, the guys are listening right now, rolling their eyes. They're like, oh God. They're like, go back to talking about tacos, something that we care about. Seriously, mm-hmm. you're on your period. You're talking about ice cream and lipstick. Like, good Lord, folks, get a life. We know. We can't help it, though. We hope you love us anyway. And for those of you men who are listening from the great state of Wyoming, please don't leave. We've got six of you, and we want to keep all six. We want to keep all of you from all over the world because we are so honored and so thrilled that you guys listen in every week to this show.
You're right. And we absolutely love and appreciate every single one of you. We know that divorce is hard. It's draining. And we know that the unknown can feel super scary. Our goal is to offer some guidance and some humor and to ultimately help you not to suck at divorce.
That's true. Should you guys want more entertainment? Wait, there's more. First of all, please pop over to our website because it is so gorgeous and you will get to learn a little bit more about each of us at www.hownottosuckatdivorce.com. And should you want to follow us on social media, we would love it. You can find me on Instagram at the Andrea Rappaport.
And you can find me at the Divorce Attorney Chicago on Instagram. And we're just asking, if you like us, tell your friends, tell your book club, hell, tell your ex. We don't care. We're just here to help everybody.
That is true. And guys, again, we know that when you are in the thick of it, it can feel like this is a day by day or hour by hour thing. And we are with you every step of the way.
You've got this and we've got you. Until next time.